You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Auckland Council and the government have recently announced plans to cooperate with a new Auckland City deal. The deal concerns collaborations between council and central government over the next few decades, across issues such as Eden Park's ownership and operation, or investigations into a potential bed levy. Part of the plan and part of Auckland Council's recent disputes with the government has been housing planning. In February of this year, the minimum housing cap for Auckland was lowered to 1.6 million and was lowered again in March to 1.4 million. The drop came alongside complaints from many residents of central suburbs, such as Ponsonby, Mount Eden and Epsom, who say intensification would hurt the character of their neighbourhoods. On the other side of the debate are those who say intensification is necessary to ensure housing remains affordable, especially close to the CBD. To discuss the debate and what the Auckland City deal has for Auckland, I spoke to Senior Lecturer in Urban Planning, Dr. Alan Bamantemori. And so there's been a new Auckland City deal announced between Auckland Council and the government. What are the kinds of things urban planners were wanting to see in the deal, and how do those compare to some of the things that we actually saw out of it?
Yes, we actually observed a new deal, and I think this is something that we expect in planning. This is quite normal. We first have some assessments, we create a plan or suggest a plan change, like what we had planned 78 and then now plan change 120. So this is quite normal. We always try in planning, specifically in urban planning, we try to have feedback, we evaluate what we had, and then see if what we have developed is appropriate, if it is working properly in terms of infrastructure and hazard. So I think this new deal hopefully can help to create a kind of agreement between central government and Auckland Council to develop city in a better situation and more futuristic approach to urban development. This is what I see. And it is quite normal, all these revisions and recalibration of the what we decided previously. It is part of the process of planning. It's quite natural.
And we've seen previously this government having some disagreements with Auckland Council over housing policy in particular. Changes to PC 120 with the minimum housing capacity lowered first from 2 million down to 1.6 million and then again down to 1.4 million. What does that mean for the city, and what kind of attitudes are influencing this disagreement?
I think in terms of the disagreement, this is again quite normal for planning. I think this kind of conflicts between central governments and local governments are mostly related to the infrastructure capacity of the city for further development, what type of development we need, and also the contribution of urban development to GDP growth, to economic growth. So mainly the central governments, they see shortage in supply. So we want to supply more housing in the market. But in reality, in many cases, we don't have enough capacity to develop. These kind of conflicts is rooted to the capacity of infrastructure and also what we name sometimes as the politics of land use planning, conflictual interest over the places or further development in terms of greenfield development or brownfield development, both of them. And I think this type of communication between government and local governments, central governments and local governments, are quite helpful to deal with this kind of conflict in terms of urban development or ownership or what type of land use we require in specific places, and even what type of urban development is more important for our economic growth and also economic efficiency.
And it seems like the debate over how housing developments in Auckland should continue has two key sides, I guess. On one side, there's a lot of the younger generation, you know, students, some members of council, some urban planners as well, talking about intensification and the importance of, you know, building apartments and similar stuff closer to the city to ensure that people can access their workplaces, their universities, all that sort of stuff. And then on the other side, there's these people with these large properties in these central suburbs, you know, Mount Eden, Ponsonby, Parnell, Epsom, saying that they don't want the special character of their suburbs destroyed. What do you make of that debate? And the government seems to have favoured one side in particular. What do you make of that decision as well?
This is really interesting. This is part of the actually courses that we need to cover in the courses, in the urban planning courses, specifically, for example, in urban economics. Yes, we have always this kind of conflict, and we need futuristic approach to urban development. We need intensification. But from the other hand, we have some kind of I would frame it as a kind of value for the heritage in neighborhood, or what we need to preserve as heritage for the future. So it seems they are kind of conflicts of interest over the future, the direction of future urban development. But this is the role of planning. We need to talk with both sides. It needs modeling, calculations, and see how we can really put these kind of conflictual interests together and plan for future urban development. And we cannot say any of them is, any side is wrong, but we need to plan for this type of conflicts. We have different mechanisms and different tools in planning. How we can compensate for those people who are worse off from urban development, and how we can preserve heritage at the same time allocate more kind of intensification at the proper appropriate places, as we've seen in the new plan change, closer to the transportation hub, or in the places with enough capacities. And also we need to consider hazard as well. And putting all these things together is not really easy. That's why having more kind of deal agreements between different parties will be really helpful.
And it almost seems like two different, I guess, sources for these ideologies as well, right? The intensification model, looking at maybe some of the big European cities, whereas the idea that households should have large sections, large backyards, large driveways, seems to be a very American idea. Do these ideas, you know, how do these interact, and how do you think they'll interact going forward as we build Auckland to be a city for the future?
This is really good, interesting, good question. Yes, the point is that we are not similar to the European cities with that level of density that we observe in the European cities and urban development in European cities. And we are not also close to the American cities. We have our own type of development. But the reality is that we need intensification at some places. That's why I think this new plan change can be helpful to make sure we evaluate every case or every step of development. Yes, there's a trade-off. We need to spend more time sometimes. We need to be more cautious about different types of urban development. But case by case, it is better to consider all the different type, kind of angles and dimensions of development, and then make sure we are doing the right things. So I think we can have our own style of urban development that is not similar to American cities with those industrialization and big companies, heavy industries at some places. And we are not like European countries with high density areas and at many points overcrowded places. So we have this chance and this capacity to develop what is really deserved for the New Zealand context and appropriate for our context.
There's been a lot of talk from the government promoting increased greenfield developments. What's your take on that, I guess, and as they compare to brownfield developments as well?
We know greenfield development always they have greater contribution to economic growth. But brownfield development is more about social dimension of urban development and how we can bring back some of the underused or undervalued lands to the economic growth and GDP growth of the city. So always greenfield development are easier and faster and a great contribution to GDP growth, economic growth. But brownfield development are more difficult, challenging. We need to upgrade the capacity of infrastructure, but normally the contribution is slower and the contribution to social dimension is more in depth in comparison to greenfield development. This is something that probably we need to rethink about greenfield development as well.
That was Senior Lecturer in Urban Planning at the University of Auckland, Dr. Alan Bamundamori, speaking to me about the Auckland City Deal and housing intensification debates in the city.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.